What's going on, Swazzers? Quite the week it's been. We hope you've had a great week this past week and have a great week coming up. But what did we say, as well as the Bluebirds faithful, in entering that seven-side derby, which resulted in a massive win? Is this us now? Kings of the derbies? Is the sense of the Cardiff City identity back? Or is it just a result of the fall of our biggest rivals? All to be answered today in episode 7, season 4 of A Bit of Swaz. But before we get the ball rolling, let me firstly introduce the right-hand man and co-host, William Kosh. How are you keeping, Koshy?
Keeping well, mate. Been watching the Bluebirds the last couple of weeks, on fire.
Hasn't been too bad, has it?
Yeah. Looking forward to the fire side tonight. New league, new division. With the big
new
boys.
Season.
Yeah.
Not too bad. How many do you reckon you're banging in tonight?
At least 4.
Oof. We love the confidence. We always love the confidence. I'm going for a little hattie myself. A little hattie. Now remember, we're at SwazPod on the Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. So like, love, share, comment and most importantly, subscribe. So of course, Koshy, as we said, as we did and a lot of Bluebirds fans predicted, was a huge win in the seven-side derby against, of course, Bristol City. I knew this game was special. Well, I know this game was special to a lot of fans. But this game, I thoroughly enjoyed. Starting off with Rawlsy once again, as we mentioned on the pod so many times, putting in an exceptional cross into the main man, Perry NG. I don't think I can love this man anymore. I'll be honest with you. I really don't. I think the love cap is just... It's hit the top. And of course, as we all know, we've been crying out for it. That beauty of a goal by Caldwell. Exceptional bit of skill, or Jack and Jill, as Blakey would say. And an unbelievable finish. I felt like he did that for all the fans that still believe in the boy. Now, the Robins had their chances, but Koshy, was it as a dominant performance as it looked?
Yeah, Brandon, yeah, it was dominated, Brand. For the derby, lived up to expectation. Good periods for us, I thought, especially between the 27th minute to the 35th minute, where Perry NG's goal came from. I thought we dominated that period of the game. As you mentioned, Caldwell came on and absolutely scored probably the best goal I think I've ever seen him score so far for Cardiff. That footwork, and it's like something you do on FIFA. You just a bit of confidence, like, through two players. And even the finish to go with it was like, oh, you're not saving that, no matter who's in goals. That power from that close, no chance. Keep up with that. But it was nice, Bram. We've won the two home derbies. That's all you want, from a Car City fan, to make sure that at least you win the home games and maybe okay, maybe not win away from home. But get the home job, a home derby wins, and that's what the fans want. And obviously, do the double, and then even better. But they set up well in the first two derbies of the season, so really intrigued now if we could go on and maybe do the double over both of them. But now, good game. Good. We mentioned last week about Robinson taking Buller's information on board and showing him what he's got to offer. Now we've seen Caldwell do exactly the same thing, and that's all you want from a player. And obviously, from us fans, it's great to see so much competition in that area of the pitch and both players playing to their best and fighting for the badge. And obviously, Caldwell, Cardiff born from the academy, and seeing a player like that rip up the derby against Bristol and show the quality he has and one of our own. It's something we always knew he had. And just whilst we're on the topic, Caldwell, during the season so far, he's had the most successful dribbles per 90 with 7.1.
So interesting. In the championship or in the club?
In the championship. So wow. despite obviously not having much game time as maybe we liked or compared to the other position teams in the players in the championship, he's leading the way with that. So we know he's got quality, and the fact now he's running back, and to be honest, even against watching recently the last couple of games, he has put a one or two dish like tackles, which has like been important, especially at Stoke. Like, he worked very hard, and the ball out for throwing, but like it stopped them from countering, and he's starting to like add the defensive game into his game slowly, and that energy, and he's a unit, right? An absolute player.
I know, man. Well, that's what Bullet wants. I think that's, like we mentioned, the reactions and the mind games, if you will, from Bullet. I think that's bang on what Bullet wants. I mean, I don't think it's Bullet ever questioned what he can do with the ball or his ability with the ball, his off the ball. But again, a great point you make, Will, is the fact that there's competition in every position now, I feel. Don't get me wrong, we speak about the back four being so solid, but it's competition in every position. There's competition outright with Bowler and Tanner. You've got now behind the striker with Colwell and Robinson. Even out left, you've got Grant, and you've got players fighting to really take up that left wing position, even though he's holding it down, but he's working hard to hold it down. Up front, you've got Mate and Ukpo. I mean, this is what we want. Even back, you could say Siopsis has sort of solidified that position, but Rolsey with, I mean, you've got
Wintle.
Ebu Adams fighting Wintle. You've got all these players fighting for that position. And again, this has all been created by Errol Buller. And yeah, it's fantastic to see. And I think his preparations for not just games, but more in particular derbies, I think has been exampled so well. And it's really what we were crying out for as Cardiff City fans, wasn't it?
Yeah, and especially the goal came early in the first half. So Perry NG goal now. And just the atmosphere just kicked on from then, from that goal. And when you got that many fans in the Cardiff City Stadium backing and against obviously your local rivals, they're going to spur him on. And obviously Colwell took his chance, and it's nice to see he's done it and proven. And we spoke about him so much on this podcast, but going and doing it in the biggest game, and the games to do it. At the start of the season, you said to him, well, what game are you going to prove yourself? You probably picked Bristol City, and it's one of the games to do so. So for him to go and prove his point and then obviously just deliver with that type of goal and that type of finish, it just shows, like, he wants to play for Cardiff, and he ain't going to be happy to sit on the bench. And obviously pleasing himself, and obviously, don't forget, he was in the Wales World Cup side, so he played against England, so he's played at the very top, and I presume he wants to stay there, and obviously he does.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, 100%, 100%, and I think as well he's proven, although again it's just from that Bristol game, and of course we've got the Stoke game, which we'll get into shortly, but I think he has proven that he's not as mentally soft as some people may think. Yeah. And had a lot of his sort of downfall has been from injuries, and obviously we speak about the growth spurt, which we always refer back to, but it's clear that he's resilient. He's a resilient player, he's a resilient man, and again, now he's growing into his body and he's now fit. I feel like he looks fit. He looks like he's getting into the shape that he wants to be in. And I feel now we'll speak about it shortly, but I think they can really spur him on for this season. I mean, he's gaining confidence. And like I said, him, Colwell with confidence is a scary thing. And I really do hope it can spur him on for the season now, because again, like you said, on this podcast, we've mentioned numerous of times. I mean, last week I was crying out for it when we were speaking with Henry about certain players in certain positions. And like what we're describing is what we need and maybe what we might be looking for in January. I'm like, that's what we got in Colwell.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we got. Exactly what we're looking for. It is there and more, if anything. And he's, like you said, he's from our academy. And he's been a Cardiff City fan his whole life. So, yeah, I mean, it's fantastic to see. It really is. And yeah, I mean, I just hope and pray that he can keep it up in a while.
Yeah, 100%. Got a bit to do so. And hopefully he gets back in Rob Page's plans.
Definitely. I mean, you look now towards the end of the month. I mean, of course, there's only one fixture before the international break. I mean, of course he's not starting in bullet sides, but still, I mean, he could make an argument to at least get into that squad. If he doesn't get play.
If Colwell's on form and he's fit, and if you put him in that Welsh side, that's some dangerous attack with Brennan and Brooks and Colwell and Moore and
Wilson.
Yeah,
I know, man. I hope that he's given an opportunity, though, because he could easily not.
Yeah, I know.
But I think Rob Page is a fan of him, I think. I mean, he picked him at such a young age, and I don't think he's necessarily been disappointed. I mean, you've heard him speak about Colwell numerous times in press conferences, and it doesn't seem like he's ill-thinking or ill-speaking of him. I mean, he's definitely a fan and knows his ability. Otherwise, he wouldn't have picked him so early on.
100%, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, like we said, I mean, I hope, even if he's not starting for us, but I just hope he still gets given the opportunity and hoping just take it as it goes, like he did in the following fixture, which was Stoke away on a Saturday afternoon. Never an easy fixture away from home. Despite it being a goalless draw, it's a point which we definitely would happily take home going into a week's rest, with Norwich next coming up. I mean, Robinson hit the post off a deflection, a couple of decent corners, which we made a little bit of noise, but like I said, away from home, you take that against an informed Stoke. We'll take that every day of the week when we will.
Yeah, 100%. Stoke came in with a three wins on the bounce, beating some good sides, Sunderland.
Big sides.
So, yeah, they were full of confidence. Obviously, at home as well, they thought they could have us. But obviously, you just mentioned it, but Caldwell, like, I was looking at like the data and stuff of the game, and when Caldwell came on, that impact he made, we had a big period of a good 12 minutes since he came on of dominating the game and being on the front foot, and
and
he just, that impact, and you see what he did. And I even saw a tweet on Twitter from a Stoke City fan saying, wow, that Caldwell player is some player. And then when you see the other team starting to notice, and you hear on the commentary, like you said, Brand, of people in the comms speaking about him and saying how much impact he's made, you can see. And then it only takes a moment of brilliance to win those games away from home. We've been tight, we played defensively, we were solid. Got good mentions to Grant and Bowler either side. To be honest, I was more impressed with them defensively this week. Obviously, we know how good they are going forward. But Bowler, 8 out of 8 ground draw ones. And offensively, he had 6 out of 6 dribbles completed. So, and he did, like, he took on his man and he put the ball past him and went round him and was just some player, Bowler. If we could keep him fit, I think, wow. I know we mentioned Tanner, how good Tanner is, but Bowler is decent. And I think definitely a top 6 winger every day of the week and taking players on for fun. And just our final delivery, and we win our day to be. It was really cagey. They had some chances as well. I thought they kept saying, like, oh, the defence is solid, Stoke City's defence now. But I didn't think that centre-half looked dodgy. You know, every time we pressed him, he looked like he was going to lose it. But Grant did really well, really, really well, is what I want to say. Like, I thought he stood out straight away for me, like, defensively, offensively. But I think we had one chance as well where we played left. For, you know, the Robson chance, I think we should have went right, I think, if it was the same chance I'm on about. Because I think they were out, so I think it was bowled out wide. And it looked like he had more space to actually go on and take the shot. But
yeah,
it was meant to be. But take a point against Stoke, and my prediction is still on if we could beat Norwich on Saturday. But yeah, I'll take a point against Stoke every day of the week, especially on the form they've been on.
No, like you said as well, I think the two wing play, and what I've been most impressed with is, and I know we've mentioned this off the pod, is how much they're working back.
Yeah, and I think that was a problem, wasn't it? Against Blackburn, we mentioned, like, they obviously were defending, but they weren't, they should be more further back instead of being a 4-3-3 or whatever it was. Should be over 4-5-1.
Yeah,
and you get against Stoke, it was clear and, like, apparent that they were back, because obviously their full backs were getting forward, and they were, like, making that midfield and that defence compact and solid to break down and that block.
Yeah, definitely, they got to be a bit tighter to their, not even necessarily so tighter to their full back, but just working back. And I think Bullitt has stressed that so much. And again, we mentioned this quite early on, Will, in the season, the fact how much he was stressing to the wingers, especially when he was starting Tanner. And Tanner was on that right side when Baller was out. He was stressing for him to come back, drop in, work hard, work back. And
Disciplined. And
yeah,
I think I saw a stat earlier and I generally forgot what it was. But it's that thing, we were, like, in the league, we were, like, I think when it comes to fouls or cards, I think it was fouls. We didn't give him any fouls away, which is something quite rare. I think we used to give
quite surprising.
Like, yeah, because when you have Flint and Morris in your team and Rolls, you always think at least come off. And even with Siopis in team, you think, oh, he gets some fouls away. But discipline-wise, we've been really good in the championship. And it's just meant that, like, we ain't giving any of those silly free kicks away. We're inviting pressure. And we ain't allowing the team to get momentum. And obviously it's showing. And defensively, we've been really good, obviously. Second best in the championship as well, with clean sheets, with 6.
Massive.
So, yeah, so it's given us a good foundation, and we all know how a defence really is the most important thing to get you promoted. Obviously, goals win you games and stuff, but having a solid foundation in the back and then a good spine in the field and an attack, and then that gets you through to the Premier League. And at the moment, we've got that back four, and our midfield's clicking, and our attack's being much better than it was last year. So, exciting times.
100%, 100%, and I think results like that, 0-0 draw away from home against a team like Stoke, an informed team like that, that is what's going to get us into that top 6.
100%.
And again, we know I was the first to say that top 6 is very hopeful at the start of the season, but them type of results, that Bullitt is churning out.
Yeah.
That's gonna get us in the round. When it comes to the end, we speak about the championship, it's all about how you finish the season. When it comes to the end of the season now, after we're getting these type of results, I mean, it's there, Will. It's definitely there, isn't it?
I tell you what, though, it is there, but I always think, it's really frustrating, but like I always forget, think back to the Leeds game, the Leicester game, and the Ipswich game. Only because they're the top three now, but
if I know what you mean.
We had them so early, which we were happy to have them out the way, but the fact we drew to Leeds and us being two goals up or whatever it was back then, and we were beating Ipswich away from home, and they came back and turned around, and then the Leicester game, Ramsey's strike obviously was 1-1, and Maite had a massive chance 1-1 the goalkeeper. If those points turned to 3 or even you had the draw, different scenario.
Could be there at the top of the league, well. We could be knocking on the door at the top.
We'd be in the automatic, like, but that things like that, like, I can't, like, for some reason, I can't get out of my head at the moment.
It's no, really, I heard it, mate. It's football, though, isn't it?
Yeah, like, it's the same with that Huddersfield game in the Premier League, and when we drew there, I was like, that's just, like, a game that we got to get something from, 3 points, and But
reminds me of that Chelsea game as well. Remember that Chelsea game? It's their type of games, isn't it?
I hope I just get brainwashed and just forget it happened. Because obviously they're good size. I know they're good size, but when you're in it against good size and you should have maybe came up with 3 points, it's just you still think about those times. It's not so much the Rotherham games. It's them games, like top sides, and like they make the difference in the points.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, they are the ones that make the difference, but we have to be thankful for the position we are in and the results that we are picking up. Seventh. I mean, that's not too bad. I mean, especially, again, I don't want to go back to get too statistically, but the fact that we're getting these results, and again, like that 0-0 draw against away from Stoke, I mean, we're getting results out of these games that we're not necessarily dominating with possession, but then again, because we're so solid at the back, and we still, again, we speak how many goals we scored this season now, how much better it is. We still back it up when we have them opportunities, even when we're behind the ball, so to speak.
Well, having much of the ball as we didn't think we would have, obviously, during pre-season, I thought playing out the back in Braga and Portuguese side, if we got a bit of the ball, but it's not meant to be with Bullet. Obviously, a counter-attacking style of play, blocks, making it hard for the opposition to score. And if we can score, then it's a team we don't want to play against. And I was listening to the game against Stoke, the commentators were saying, and like Cardiff is... They had an ex-pro on for Stoke. I don't know who he was, but he was saying like, yeah, the block, they're good, and they're stopping us from playing our game, and for hard to break down. Obviously, the bit of height, and they were even like panicking at one point, saying they got some height in their team when we had a corner. I was like, it's nice to hear that again, but especially when we got Ruben Caldwell coming on, who's like 10, or he's like 6 foot, wherever he is. We had a bit of debate on Twitter. I know, what did we say he was? 6?
Well, we didn't necessarily say what Caldwell was, but we mentioned, we put up that team photo, as a team picture of Atete and Caldwell standing next to each other. And now Atete is listed as 6'6". You could argue whether he might be 6'5". I wouldn't say 6'4". I'd say 6'4" is a bit going out on a limb.
But
Caldwell looks taller than him. That's what I'm saying. Atete is listed as 6'6", and Caldwell looks got taller than him.
Tell what we need. Do you know the players, they go ask Keon, or ask whatever they've been doing recently, or those fans' questions, like Grant done it one the other day. Mm-hmm. I think we need one with Caldwell and one with Keon Atete. And I think we might have done Atete, but we need to ask him how tall they are, because
it's a debate.
Even Caldwell be the one we need to ask. Ask Ruben. We need to ask Ruben how tall he is, because we need some sort of clarification, because the boy keeps growing every time we speak about it.
I think he has. I mean, he keeps growing. Maybe not as time to get the verification. He's still going up, man.
Yeah, but at least we know we're like he's minimum 6'5".
I think we can bank he's definitely minimum 6'5". I think I can stand on a whim that he's definitely at least 6'5". Because Keon Tetley's at least 6'5". And he looks at least an inch taller. And Keon's a big boy. Like, he's tall, like.
Yeah.
And especially now he's put a bit of weight on, so he doesn't look so lanky, but... He is definitely tall. There's no doubt about it. But yeah, we put that on the Twitter. I mean, we had to get that out there, because it's definitely a point to be made. But I mean, in the future, I mean, we'll find out.
Going back to the off the ball you mentioned a minute ago, like, I think we were 21st in the league for possession, so, or 17th. I need to double check that. But we were in the back end of the possession stats, so we weren't the highest ball possession team in the league. So just shows how well defensively we've had. And I do think our defence has probably been the best I've seen in a long time, a long while, going back to maybe the Bamber and Morrison days back then. And I think at the moment, I think it's up there, like we're the best we've had so far. So
yeah,
solid. And I know we get onto it with NG and stuff, but I'm starting to like our back four, and they're starting to make themselves like heroes, cult heroes, players you remember type of thing. Not like just a two-season wonder type of thing. Players you think, oh, I remember him, like the McNaughtons and stuff. And I think these players are slowly becoming one of them players, if that makes sense.
Well, I mean, go off McNaughton. Great player, cult hero, Cardiff City legend, I could say, with Chest.
Yeah.
Let's compare him to my favourite player. As the Swazzers know, my favourite player, Perry NG, has been my favourite player for the past three seasons. Is he possibly in contention with McNaughton as like one of the best right backs with a shirt? Because I think it's now time. I know it's still early on in the season, but he's been here now for a bit. Is it now time to discuss whether he can be put in that same conversation?
Yeah, and I don't really want to say it, Bram, but like when I think about it, I think Perry might be the edge, which I don't want to say.
Whoa, I mean,
I know that's a statement. Like, I love McNaughton, but like, I think Perry adds more. Like, if you really think about what he's done, and like the goals and his average rating is always high, and played in goal, and scores wonders of free kicks now and again, and a big impact. And he's played centre half as well, so he's versatile. I think he has. I think if you have to pick your like all time Cardiff team, or I think he might get it because his versatility and his set threat from set pieces and his delivery and his expected assists, we know that's high as well. And add all them up, and we're like, oh.
It's at least a conversation, most definitely.
Yeah, but yeah, it's quite a good conversation to have. It'd be quite interesting
100%. To see where let us know. Do you know what? We might put it out on the Twitter, actually, and say.
Because that is a good debate, because both, like, I would say both have been the best Cardiff City right-backs in the last couple of years, 20 years. And we'd like to know. I'd like to know that. Don't even put it out. I think we just do a poll and just see what the poll says.
Do you know what? I think we will. I think we definitely will.
I want to see the split, yeah.
But will fans pick with their hearts, though, rather than their heads? You pick with your heads, Willie. You're very much a stat man. So you're going to look at the stats.
But also, you've got to think as well, like, obviously, like, people forget about players in years to come, and the new players are more relevant and things like that come into it. But I know McNaughton's obviously world-class, but I don't know.
I know, and he's one of our own as well. That's the big thing.
How many player of the season has NG won, man?
Well, he's won two Swaz player of the seasons for myself, so in the Swaz Awards, but he definitely won that one year.
So he's up there then with just that. That's like a Ballon d'Or for Cardiff City player.
No, but, definitely.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know, actually. Yeah, it'd be a good topic to have.
Most definitely. But is he, would you say, like, possibly our best player going into now?
I'd say at the moment, consistently wise and performance wise, yeah, you're right up there, obviously. Stats says obviously he is, but actually just going and watching him and seeing he's always there. And like, do you know what I love about NG as well? And you can see it in the Stoke game, and also Grand Setter. The fact, like, yeah, we know he off the pitch he's quiet, but when he's on the pitch he's kicking you, he's like putting your shirt, he's stepping your toes. And I think even the commentator during the Stoke game even like realised like he stood on someone's foot. Like he picked it up like during the game and like mentioned it, and you could see it. And then there's things like the dark arts of football like that you don't see, and he's very clever at those things. And Grant said like he was the worst, like coming up against him last year was one of the worst games he had, because NG was just a pain in the arse. He said he hated him, like he said he came to the team hating him. But that's what you want, though. You want that type of player in your team. You want to, I don't want to put the words out there, but like you want that, it was arrogant and like not arrogant, but like those players, like I don't want to say the words, but you know what I'm thinking.
No, definitely. I mean, definitely. It's Cardiff City. That's what we want teams to come and think against us. Hard to play against, because that's what we have been over the years. But it's definitely an argument to be had. I mean, you've got Siopis, NG, of course, Ramsey. I know he's out injured and still question marks on when he'll be back. But it's been quite mad, really, when you think about Ramsey being injured and going out for a few months. That was a big topic of conversation, saying, is that us? I mean, a lot of fans from other championship clubs were like, oh, that's Cardiff
it's
now.
It's mental.
Finish. And like, we even said that we're going to miss him, like, because we got replacements. But are we? Like, how mental is that to think?
It's mental. At first, I think we were, only because we put Wintle there and it worked one game. And then didn't quite work from rest on, from then on, but that link was missing. But now with Carl Wang and Robbo taking their chance, basically, with better side. But it's just nuts to hear, like, there's these championship, like, commentators talking about Cardiff, like, oh, with all these players, and they all forget about Ramsey, and then they mention it, and we're like, oh, this Cardiff team is up there, like, they've got a decent side. There's, and they always say, oh, they're much better than they were last year, considering they were wherever you were in the league, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, I think, and then the fact they're coming back, and you think, oh, if you chop Ramsey in this team, and I think teams will start to panic.
Yeah, definitely. It's almost been like a perfect storm in the sense of Ramsey coming out has sort of made every other player elevate and sort of made Bullitt's jobs harder.
Everything happens for a reason, so. Imagine, just imagine previewing us. Imagine, like, trying to go through, like, who's a key player, and then all of a sudden Ramsey's back in the mix. And you're like, oh, what do we do now? Like, who is our main focus going to be on? And that's what's good for us. And obviously, we mentioned January, but, like, if you do add some more players in other positions, sky's the limit.
It's dangerous, Will. It's dangerous, to say the least, mate. It's dangerous. So, remember, we're at SwazPod on the Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. So, like, love, share, comment, and most importantly, subscribe. Now, moving on, Will. We're bringing back the new little segment of the show. It's start one, bench one, and drop one. This is where I chuck it at William Kosh. Three players, three ex-Bluebirds. So, Will, for this week's start one, bench one, and drop one, the last one was competitive, to say the least. I think I threw a good one at you. Now this one, we're up in the ante. We're up in the intensity. So, the first player...
I got a slight feeling of thinking what's going to happen next. I hope it's not what I'm thinking it is.
I hope it is what you're thinking. The first player is the man himself, Robert Earnshaw.
Oh, phew.
Robert Earnshaw, now his stats speak for himself, brought us up the divisions, scoring goals. Some may argue that the money we got from him actually kept the club afloat at that time. Definitely a Cardiff City legend and Welsh international. The next man stepping in is a hero of mine as a young man. I just posted on my wall. It's Michael Chopra, great striker. Had that partnership, of course, with Jay Bothroyd. Was smashing in goals for fun. Really was part of the, I'd say, like, the bright years in terms of football that was being played at the club. You turn up every week. Whether we win, lose or draw, you were going to go away happy. And the third player on the list, he played for Cardiff City as a young man early in the 90s. Again, went for a bit of money that helped the club. And he's also a big fan of the show. It's Nathan Blake.
Oh, you can't
in
do
the
that.
Mix.
You can't do
in
that.
The mix. Scored goals for us as a young man, as a teenager. Was banging in goals. Got us up through the divisions. Back when we needed it the most. Was part of a very historic 1992 team. Koshy, I need you to start one, bench one, and drop one between Robert Earnshaw, Michael Chopra, and Nathan Blake.
I'm glad, to be honest, it's not between McNaughton and Perry NG again. I don't know what I feel about this. Can you fact check, like, between Blakey and Ernie, who went for the most money?
Ooh, that's a good... Well, they were different to 10 years between each other, so...
It might have a factor on...
I'm pretty sure it was Ernie, because Blakey was coming to the end of his contract. Could be wrong, but I'm definitely sure it was Ernie.
I'm going to lock in Chopra on the bench.
He's going on the bench. So you're dropping on starting Blake Ernie?
Yeah, that's the problem. So the only reason I put them two in the mix, because, right, my reasoning, yeah? Ernie, yeah? You said he kept us afloat, so we sold him for some money to keep us going, basically, you're saying. So that's in the contention of why he might be in the selling option. Because of that reason only.
it's not sell, mate. It's not sell. It's drop. You're not selling.
Oh,
you're putting him
sell.
In your reserves. No, it's start one, bench one, and drop one, bro. He's getting in the reserves, bro. He's not even turning up. Not even putting a team tracksuit on. He's going to sit in the hospitality the person you're dropping.
Oh, no. If it was Sal, that makes it better. Like, get some money for him.
No, not at all, mate.
Well, I think...
Do you want me to help you out? Do you want me to help you out with some stats? I know you're a stat man. You make a lot of decisions off stats.
Go on.
Because I got a feeling it might change.
I know, probably Andy's probably got the best stats, aren't
Definitely. Definitely. Right. Michael Chopra, when he played between 2006 to 2011, 162 games and 65 goals. You with me?
Yeah.
Now, Ernie, this is counting, in mind, when he came back in 2011 to 2013 with his second stint. But from 1997 to 2004, again, counting his second stint, 227 appearances, 109 goals.
Great.
Yeah?
You get Blakey's up then or what?
And Blakey, if you'll bear with, where have I put it?
I think these stats
are Nathan Blake, between 1990 and 1994, I remember he didn't always play up front, he played out wide a lot of this time as a young man. 179 appearances and 41 goals.
Right, I think I know what I'm going to do.
Go for it.
I'm going to start Ernie. I'm going to put Blakey on the bench because the versatility of him playing on the wing and striker. So that's the main reason.
Okay.
So he could cover a couple of positions and impact.
Definitely on, not because he'd find out about it. Okay, no worries.
Impact on the bench. and I'll drop Chopra because I think.
Even all the memories he gave you growing up.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have been here if Ernie Shaw wouldn't have gone, so hey. It's a reason. And if Blakey didn't get promoted back then and gone on to when he went, we wouldn't be in the situation with Chopra, so Chopra should be lucky to be in the contention.
Michael, if you're listening, mate, if you're listening, that's what William Koch thinks of you.
To be fair, though, I of all players, I've copied Chopra's celebration the most. With a boot off I did on the playground in school.
Mate, I can't believe that. And two Wales internationals against the Geordie.
He's played Champions League football, Chopra. That was in my head as well. I was thinking Newcastle, playing the Premier League as well. I was like, oh.
So you sticking with it?
I stick with that. Yeah, I think I have to.
So you're starting Ernie, benching Blakey, and dropping Chopra.
Would you agree or...?
Oh, nothing to do with me, mate. I give the questions, mate. I'm not answering. It's my turn now, mate. The power shift has shifted, mate. Don't you worry. Well, that was this week's start one, bench one, and drop one. So moving on, some fantastic news across the club was a huge South Wales derby win for the under-18s, with the Bluebirds coming back from being two goals down to defeat the Swans on Saturday afternoon. Thanks to Trey George's late hat-trick, a name to look out for, Trey George, that sealed all 3 points for the boys in Leckwith Park. Seemed like an incredible game. Well, is that club coming back? Derby Kings, like I said earlier on the episode, they're coming Derby Kings. Well, how big is this for the future of the club?
Yeah, big. Derby's always big. Statements, bragging rights, in obviously in Wales and over the bridge. It's what you want to see, and obviously what you want to be a part, especially academy players, you just mentioned, the 18s. It's probably the fixture they look at and they circle and one they really look forward to the most out of all their games. And also, that's probably, like, realistically, that's their, like, chance to prove themselves in, like, a game that makes sense.
High-intensity situation.
Yeah, so, like, they know what's on the line. They know the preparation would be bigger than it would be on a normal game normally. So they're going to deliver in those games and... That's what you want, and that's what you want. You want your academy players to come into the first team knowing we've beaten these players we're playing against, these younger players that are coming on against us. We're much better when we're 18 or in the 20s and in the academy, and we still want to keep that bragging rights. And to go and deliver, and you said someone scored a hat-trick, didn't you say, as well, in the 18s?
Yeah, of course. It was young man, name of Trey George.
So, yeah.
Big hat-trick in a big game.
Yeah, so Bagsman, obviously, scoring in the derby, that's what you want to hear. And obviously, we'll get into it next week, I believe, or whenever. But women's team winning as well. It's across the board, as you said.
It's coming around, mate. I mean, it's just like you say, it's all part of the culture of the club. This is what it means. But speaking of culture of the club, in recent news, big friend of the Swaz, Ridian Bowen Phillips, in Rhondda with the Rhondda Bluebirds, meeting the manager, Errol Bullitt. Another fantastic event hosted by the club and the Rhondda Massive. The gaffer was serenaded also by a local choir with Men of Harlech and Amaro Heat. Again, we love to see the sort of thing, whether it's decided by the manager or the club. It's just fantastic across the board. I mean, well, it's great to see, and Bullitt embracing the culture of the club while creating his own.
Yeah, it's class, generally class, and it's good to have the insight, obviously. Like, imagine you went to a new country and somebody invited you in to a local pub with choir singing for you and telling you a bit about the language and the history of Wales and Cardiff, and seeing those fans which come and support you every weekend and away from home all those miles, and you get to see them in person, speak to them. It's obviously this is why, like, it must have helped him with the preparation to his derby, because he must get it. So he just understands it, and he must think, wow, like, this country, Wales, and come from where he's from, and thinking, wow, they're passionate, and if you have these people behind us, sky's the limit. And he's probably thinking, well, I want to stay here the longer. I probably would have wanted to stay here before joining. And I think that's class, just even the interaction. Just, you don't see many managers do that, and it just makes him likeable, and it makes him just someone you know, instead of the manager type of thing. And I'm that respect between the obviously as fans, and going there as well, not just like keeping in Cardiff, going outside of Cardiff, and to the people who we know who travel the most yards and the distance, home and away. And it's great to see, and it's good to see even the older generation. I saw a couple of older generation people there in the crowd, and I left a couple of years time when I'm a bit older, be able to shake the car seat and have a little conversation about him. You know what I mean, though, but like going to a local pub and like the car seat manager's there, I just think that's nuts. And him talking about what's going on and a bit of insight, and him stating, he also said he wanted four players so in January, so
yeah, it's good
insight,
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, it's really contributing towards painting the bigger picture at Cardiff City.
And to get, as Wales said, together stronger, and he's obviously seen our motto, and he's going through with the car. That's, I love it.
Yeah, it's great to see. It really is. And like you mentioned, actually, because he's done it more than once now. And if he makes it a regular thing, like, you're only going to get the fans behind you. And this type of stuff is why we speak well on the pod, especially in history. We speak well as fans. We don't really want too much. Do you know what I mean? We're not too, as much as we love wins and promotions and cup runs and all these different things, great players, great football, like, we just really want to feel a part of something. And stuff like this is just really contributing towards that feeling of being a part of this club, and because of how the club's been running the whole history. I'm not just talking about the past 10 years, which we've criticised plenty of times, but in the history, the way the club's been run is the fact that it allowed us as fans, as the city, as even the outskirts of the city, to really feel a part of something, and to feel that unity, and like you mentioned, together stronger, but even on a smaller scale. So this is just, we can't complain, and we can only commend it, and we can only praise it, because it's just fantastic stuff, especially from the, whether it's from the club, like I said, or from the manager, but it's just great to see. So a big well done to that. But also in the news, Errol Bullitt also confirms the club are in talks with Jamaluk Collins to extend his current deal with the Bluebirds, one of the best left backs in the league. Possibly, is this a sign of conviction from the club as well? I mean, earlier on in the season we spoke about, and especially when we had Henry on, we were saying about really going for it this season, and it's a sort of now or never sort of start to the season, and it's really going to put all our chips in for this hand.
Yeah.
But is this on a conviction that we're putting these players on a longer term deal, like we've seen earlier on the season?
So it's intense, obviously said now or never, but it could even be looked at next year as well, making sure these players are still around next season and improving again and making the team stronger, but also giving that player a bit of a comfort blanket, knowing, yeah, I'm staying here for another couple of years. I can settle down, like I can stay in my house, and family can move down. We can stay, look at schools, stay in these schools, and not affect them too much off the pitch, and just that clarity is what they need. And some players love to have that clarity, and it affects their game if they don't have that. So, good, really good, really. That I've been looking to do that. We've done quite a lot of plays so far this season, and Collins to be the next one is what you want to hear. And you know, quality players, he's obviously international as well, so that's, I think that's big for us. And obviously Nigeria, and they've got some quality players in that team, so hopefully we might see one of his international teammates join us in a couple of years' time.
Hey, I wouldn't be complaining. Yeah. I wouldn't be complaining.
Yeah, I think they'd be a good side, the national team, I believe. Some good players.
Yeah, it's all positive around here at the Cardiff. It's quite weird on this pod now, especially in the past few episodes. I mean, especially last season, we went through a point on the podcast where it felt like we were just repeating ourselves, repeating negativity. And of course, we were saying the points that needed to be said and the points that the club needed to hear and the people within that club. But now we're at a point when the football's good and we're feeling a part of something, not just us, but as the fans on a wider scale, we're happy. You know, we can't complain too much. We can't complain. Obviously, we as a podcast, we're here to be critical. We're here to speak for the XR Bluebirds. We're here to nitpoint these certain points that need to be said. But at the moment, we just got to give our hats off to the club. I mean, it's been fantastic. Even like we mentioned as well, which we're a big... we were given a lot of scrutiny for last season was the fact that even with the social media side of things and the media side of things of how they were doing things at the club, and you've even seen a big improvement of that, like we said about where they ask players certain questions. You've had numerous of players on there. Ask Kylan Grant was the most recent, I believe. So these type of things, it's just all about that triangle connection, which we mentioned so much, between the club, the fans and the board manager.
Going back to that, is you need to be together so that now the players, like, at first, the fans were commenting. Now the players are commenting on each other's videos.
Yeah, it's a factor. It's definitely a factor.
Yeah, it's like you're saying, like, who's the best dancer? But, like, Collins is asking the question, do you know what I mean? So, like, seeing that togetherness, it's all slowly gelling and coming together and mixing. And get a couple of decent results, Compton's high and packed out Carter City Stadium. Sky is the limit.
Definitely, sky is the limit. And it's been a while since we've been able to say that. Do you know what I mean? Like, even before with these derby wins, you're seeing a player celebrating, like the dressing room scenes from the Swansea game before. If we beat Swansea, which, let's be honest, it was a while before that, but if we did, we'd be more out of relief. It wouldn't necessarily be a celebration, it'd be relief in that dressing room, but seeing the celebration amongst the players, and it's creating that family environment with Bullet at the top of that tree.
Yeah,
it's like we said, it's really fantastic, and I know I mentioned before, but we really do take our hats off to the club here at Swaz. I know last episode, Will, we mentioned the Norwich fixture.
Yeah.
But Koshy, a bit has happened since then. Are you still confident in your prediction of a Cardiff win?
Yeah, 100%.
Coming up this Saturday?
Yeah, 100%. I still back you. And even more so now, looking at the stats, Brandon, mental. Not, I thought Norwich would be a decent side this season. I'm looking through this now and just, wow, shocked me. But give you a bit of a lowdown. Third... Well, they are, creativity-wise, third best in the league for goals per match. So, scored third best in the league for goals per match, 1.7. So, obviously, they know how to find the back of the net. So, that's obviously a big worry. But what struck me the most was they're the worst in the league for goals conceded per match. 2 goals per game.
Wow.
Conceding 2 goals per game. And they've also given away the most penalties this season. Before. So the defence is looking a bit ropey. Attack's looking a bit good. It's like the Liverpool team back in the day. Attack's unreal. Defence is awful type of thing, it looks like. Danger men, players to look out for. Jonathan Rowe, Gabriel as well. Rowe has 7 goals. Gabriel has 10 goals plus assists. And Gabriel's also created the most chances in the championship of 47. So players could cause us problems. But... defensively, we've been solid, so especially to nullify their threats and their danger men. And with a team with that defence and those statistics, I expect us to score some goals, Brent.
So, you expecting a game full of goals from both sides, maybe?
I think so. I think we can see some goals. That's the win, though, I know, Brent. I say goals, but that's the win.
But you expect them to create a few chances.
Yeah, I expect them to be dangerous.
They're not a bad team going forward, but just a bit leaky at the back.
Yeah. Also, I just mentioned those two players then, but I expect us to get the win on the board, but I do expect to see goals. And hopefully more for us than them, but I think our defence has been too good at the moment for them to to even like think about conceding at home, but with all these clean sheets we've been picking up. So I think it's a game that we should be winning, really, going off that. And they're 17th in the league as well, so we got to hit them when they're there, when they're low.
Especially with how strong we've been at home this season. I mean, we've really beaten proved
5 games, I think.
We've really proved though. We proved that we are crying out for this on the pod, but we're saying this Cardiff City stadium could be a fortress. We've seen what it can do for Wales, and with Cardiff City, you could even go elevate that. And we've seen what it can do, especially with a packed out crowd. Even if it's not fully packed, it's still with them, the heads in the seats. I mean, it's fantastic, and it just shows what we've been speaking about, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. As mentioned earlier, but fortress and that close to the pitch, those fans, and most players got chance these days, so. I'm just sure they love it when they're on form and when they get their chance and getting behind the manager. And yeah, it's a place you don't want to go, even for the opposition. You don't want to be going there when we're up for it, and especially if we go up early. I think we get really, like, the atmosphere is really good then, and we're giving it to them. And be not, I think it's a 3 points Brands on Saturday.
Do you know what, Will? Well, I went for, I believe, 9 points last episode. So I'm obviously going to go for another 3 points this Saturday. But yeah, and I think the break now after the that 0-0, hard-fought 0-0 draw against Stoke, I think will do us the world of good.
Yeah.
And then...
And also, Tete was back, wasn't he, in that game?
And he looked good as well, mate. Him and Caldwell coming off the bench. I mean, we failed to mention it, but they had a good little duo, man. You see him in the cup as well before we got kicked out. They had a good little tour. The 6'6" duo, like. They're not too bad. They're not too bad. They're like the guards in basketball terms. The two guards, like point guard and shooting guard.
Dynamic duo.
I know. Ruben Cole a point guard. Kean Ateta a shooting guard. I mean, it seems that seems to be the play at the moment. But yeah, I mean, again, I hope that he gets given opportunities as well, Kean, because he just looks like he improves and gets better and better each game. Each time he steps on that pitch, he gets better and better. And again, I feel like his potential as a player is limitless in itself.
100%, yeah. It really is.
But that's all we got for this week, Swazzers. Oh, but before we go, you know we got to soon. We've got the tune of the week. So, Will, what is your tune of the week?
My tune of the week is These Are The Days, the inhaler, because these are the days to be a Cardiff City fan. Derby wins, team looking good, manager we all like, players we all like, homegrown players, returning heroes. I think we'll look back at this time as a real special memory, a special Cardiff City side. And
the turning point.
It's a privilege to actually watch this team play, and a couple of players which will go on a couple of years' time and will be welcomed back with open arms. And I'm sure we'll be able to just enjoy the ride, just live the moment, and hopefully we'll be in the Premier League with this team.
Wow. Hopefully so. Well, I've gone for See Me Now by Jay Silver. 15-year-old Brandon Richards was loving his tune. But See Me Now, because see us now. Look at us now. Last season, we would never have expected this. I mean, there were some optimists that might have said, even when Bullock come in, that he was going to transfer and take us over. But, I mean, you look at us now and it's so fantastic to see. And like you said, I mean, I feel like the sky's the limit for us right now in Blues.
It actually is. Like I just said then, but I think this is a team that we look back, like, for example, like for me, like the 2011 side and the year we got promoted. But I think this team, no matter what happened this year, is just some players on this side that I think, wow, like that was us at some point in the championship with those players and that manager and that togetherness we had. I think a special time.
Yeah, 100%. Like 2011, 1992, 02.
2008, I would say as well for me.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah. Seems to come every now and again. But hopefully, it will be another one of them periods or eras, if you will. But now that's actually all we got for this week, Swazzers. Hopefully, this positive play can keep up. Hopefully, we grab a result against Norwich and have another quite quick turnaround, well-deserved international break. But that's all. Like I said, that's all we got for this week. And we'll see you next time.
Bluebirds!
Yeah.